Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Richard Piper and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want you to be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's some topic you'd like to discuss with us, give us a call right now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742, and that number's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Piper.
Thank you, Bob. All this month, we've been talking about issues of foundation. How is it that you stand firm in this world, dealing with all the things we have to deal with? And our answer has always been, if you don't have a foundation in Jesus Christ, you won't be able to stand firm. And I found this fascinating little story. It's actually quite a big story. In the Old Testament, in the book of Ezra, Ezra and Nehemiah were very much involved in rebuilding Jerusalem when Judah and Benjamin were brought back from captivity. And I'm not going to read this whole thing because it would take way too long, but you can look it up. It's in Ezra 3. And this is important because this month on the Jewish calendar, just about a week ago, was the Day of Atonement.
Right, yes.
Okay, so on the first day of the seventh month, they started to offer the daily sacrifice for sins. And this was important because it brought people together. It gave them a focus. But you notice the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. And there was no way for them to have a Day of Atonement because there was no temple. And they knew that. They knew there was no foundation for the temple. And so they set about building this foundation. And when they got the foundation finished, they had this huge party. And people who were brand new to this were screaming and cheering and having a wonderful time, and people who had been there at the original temple and realized that all they've got is the foundation, they were weeping, partly for joy, but partly because they knew it would never measure up to what they had lost. And eventually they did build the temple, and they had a holy place and a most holy place, and they were eventually able to have the Day of Atonement. But what they forgot, what they never dealt with, is that at least from the time of the Babylonian captivity until Jesus came and after Jesus left, there was no Shekinah glory in the temple. There was truly, I'm happy that you're glad that you've got a foundation, but there is no foundation. God wasn't there. And okay, the sin sacrifices and even the all the rest of it could point forward to a Messiah, but they had no presence of God. Think about what we've got today. If you are a child of God, the Shekinah glory of God Himself lives inside of you.
Wow.
I mean, thankfully it doesn't burn us up, you know, and all of that, but that's what our foundation is. Our foundation isn't in a sacrificial system. Our foundation isn't in law. Our foundation isn't in performance. Our foundation is in Jesus Himself. And He calls us His temple, and He's come to live in us and demonstrates that we are His temple.
Yeah.
And therefore, we are immovable. Nothing we've done, nothing we could do. But we are immovable because God Himself is immovable, and He is the one who plants our feet on Jesus. Jesus plants His feet in us. We're in Christ, Christ in us. Talk about a hope of glory.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a guarantee.
Amen.
That's good news.
That is good news. Andrew, thoughts on this?
Well, you know, I think Richard really nailed it there. We've just got this privilege of being the temple, and we talk about church, and we're the church, and we talk about brick and mortar and building programs and all kinds of things. We need to remember, in the middle of all that, as fine as that all may be, we are the building, and to contain the resurrection power of Christ, for the resurrected Jesus to literally and actually dwell within us, is awesome. You know, you've heard the rumors of the old Testament priests trying to enter the holy place and not being prepared the way they were supposed to. And the at least the rumor is that you might hear a thump and their head hits the floor and then a rope drags them out of there.
Yeah.
And then they say, next, well, who wants to be the next priest? But, you know, the privilege is that we get to enter the Holy of Holies and that we actually have that place residing inside of us and we're one with Jesus. So it's way better. The new covenant, way better than the old. Our union with Jesus is like nothing they experienced before. So we've got something to celebrate.
Boy, we do. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Richard, for those thoughts. Friends, it's Basic Gospel, of course. We're glad you're with us. And if it's shortly after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we would like you to be a part of it. Give us a call right now with your topic of interest or your particular question. The number 844-322-2742 is open right now. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And folks, as we've said, this ministry, Basic Gospel, has an immediate need, and we need your help to meet it. By September 30th, just 4 days away, we still need about $37,000. It's what we actually need to pay for the airtime and the other expenses incurred during the normal course of operation. We believe strongly that this new covenant message must remain on the air, telling the story of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The need is real, friends, and we need your help. All the information you need to be able to make your gift can be found at basicgospel.net or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. The need is urgent. We can't do it alone. We need your help. So again, please visit basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net/Canada and make your gift. Keep the good news coming. Now, Richard, more.
We got this question on Monday, and it's too big of a question to have, you know, either recorded or just read out loud. So I'm going to give a synopsis and then I'm going to turn it over to Andrew. He and I have been playing with this already.
Yeah.
A gentleman by the name of Clint wrote in, and this concerns Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 8. You know, if once you've tasted and seen, and if you fall away, it's impossible to be brought back to repentance. And I want to go through it. I want Andrew to go through it in some detail because of how Clint lays this question out. It says, I've struggled heavily at times, doubting my own salvation, and also struggled to grow consistently and be fruitful, and to fully rest in God's forgiveness. When this scripture says, if they fall away, this has an awful effect on my heart.
Yeah.
Because I believe that may well be describing me, and the statement leaves me with no hope and a sense of guilt over what I may have done to Christ by my own failures. Why would the writer of Hebrews, and God for that matter, say or allow such a statement if it were not first true, at least in some cases, even if not in mine? This scripture also makes it seem like we get one chance at repentance, and if we blow it, we're through. On a personal level, when I am weak and read this, it makes me feel like there is a biblical, unbreakable wall between me and the Lord Jesus because I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Andrew, speak to that, would you please?
Yeah, well, Clint has brought us a great question. You know, it's one that a lot of people have asked over the last 2,000 years since the author of Hebrews penned these words in the sixth chapter. And he says, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. So the first question is, you know, who is this addressing? Who is this warning about? Are these believers or unbelievers? And Clint, I think as we answer that question, it will help give you
yes.
a real sense of security and peace. I mean, first, in the sixth chapter there at the beginning, we're seeing that you know, this writer is saying they need to move on. Like, they're just flirting with the gospel here. They are not pressing on. They've had elementary teaching about the Christ. That means they've had some basic teaching about the Messiah. But as far as a repentance from dead works, meaning the dead works of the temple, and as far as real faith toward God, they're still flirting with temple practices. They're still flirting with ceremonial washings and trying to get right with God through the law. And so that's why he's saying, we got to get past this, people. We've got to move on. We've got to get to the deeper things, the things concerning righteousness and the gospel and what it means to be indwelt by the Spirit and all of those things. But instead, they're stuck. They're stuck talking about Old Testament priests and the laying on of hands on the scapegoat and whether there's a resurrection of the dead or not, which the Pharisees and Sadducees debated. And so that's where these people are at. These are not believers. These are Jewish. They are Hebrew people. And of course, Hebrews is written to Hebrew people. But these people in particular are the ones who are on the fence. They're flirting with the gospel. The word here is tasted. They've tasted, but they haven't swallowed. They've got the appetizer of the gospel message. It's like they went to aisle 7 of the grocery store, and there was that guy, that grocery store worker, and he hands them the toothpick, and they slide that little sample into their mouth, and they move on. I mean, they move on to aisle 8 and aisle 9 and aisle 10, and they're looking for something else to eat instead. They've tasted, but they haven't swallowed. And they've also seen the apostles who are doing incredible miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. They've shared in that. They've tasted the good word of God, but then they've fallen away. So, guys, you know, I think Clint most of all needs to know this is an unbeliever. And as the passage continues, it talks about ground that drinks in the rain versus ground that doesn't drink in the rain. So, Clint, if you have already been a person who has drunk in the rain of the gospel, that is, you've received the message, believed the message, opened the door of your life to Jesus, then you're reading someone else's mail. This is not a warning to you. This is not intended for you to then be quaking in your boots about your salvation. You need to know that even as this same chapter continues, you talked about doubting your salvation. Well, here's the reason you can know you're saved, because it's impossible for God to lie. That's what verse 18 says, and that your salvation is secured by two things, God and God. And because it's impossible for God to lie, and because it's impossible for God to lie, well, then you have this anchor for your soul. So you can rest in the forgiveness you have, and you can rest in the salvation that you have. So this was not about one chance at repentance, as you were referring to earlier, guys. This is not about a single chance. This is about Hebrew people who were in the midst of the gospel, hearing it over and over and over, and yet some of them were still rejecting and rejecting and rejecting continually the message of the apostles. So today's the day of salvation for anybody. God wants everyone to come to repentance. And my goodness, it's not a one chance or forget it. God will save anyone, anywhere, at any time.
Yeah. The word I used to get tripped up on in this passage was the word fall away. And it sounded like, you know, I was doing just fine. I was walking down the sidewalk, and there was just a slight little raised part of the sidewalk, and I tripped and fell on my face, and God said, well, that's that. Well, that word is not an accidental word. So I thought it was accidental. You know, I was trying my best, I was doing okay, and then I tripped up. Now, this was an intentional word.
Yeah.
This is a word that says, I will not believe. You know, I reject what is being offered here. There was another word used in, it's in Acts 15, talking about people who wouldn't believe what Paul and Barnabas were telling them. And it's that you look at God and you say, I won't be convinced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's nothing you can tell me that will convince me. That's kind of what was going on with the Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just accidentally tripping and falling, and God said, well, that's that. This was active rejection of Jesus himself, and that's always a dangerous place to be.
Yes, indeed. Clint, that is...
Clint, I don't think that's you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a great answer to Clint's question. Hope you're listening, Clint, and hope that is indeed a help for you. This is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Richard Piper and me. And Andrew, we've spoken to our listeners about the urgent situation in front of us, a remaining need of about $37,000 to come in between now and September 30th. In just a moment, we're going to go talk to Tony in Taylor, Michigan. But before we do that, what I want to ask you, Andrew, as a member of the Basic Gospel Board of Directors, what do you see as the importance to this ministry of having our listeners step up to help meet this need?
Well, think about all of the Clints out there. I mean, Clint is just one sample of the listeners that we are able to reach through Basic Gospel. So when you give your gift to Basic Gospel, you are helping even more people like Clint hear this good news, be encouraged by it, find security, find stability, find real rest in Jesus Christ. So the Basic Gospel message puts Jesus Christ front and center. And as a result, that confusion starts to dissipate. There's no gray areas concerning salvation or forgiveness or righteousness. And people start to benefit personally, not just individuals, Bob, but also families. I mean, we've seen this message. God has used this message to put families back together. So I just want to encourage everyone out there listening right now that if you are benefiting from Basic Gospel and if you want even more people to benefit, will help us reach this goal of $37,000 by September 30th. That's so that we can go into October stable and strong and get this message out.
So important. Andrew, thank you for those important thoughts. And friends, if you're hearing what Andrew is sharing with you, please go online to basicgospel.net or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada, and make your most generous gift to help keep this good news coming every day on Basic Gospel. Again, basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net/Canada. Okay, now to Taylor, Michigan. Let's talk to Tony. And you're on the air, Tony.
Gentlemen.
Hey there.
Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
Listen, you opened the session this afternoon with the statement of how do we stand in today's world on the things that crossed my mind were, I believe there's a hymn that goes some about foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we have a firm foundation. It's Jesus Christ our Lord.
Exactly. And when Christ died on the cross and said, "It is finished," what he finished was the mission for our salvation. That death on the cross wasn't for that time frame only. That was for all sins, past, present, and future. And maybe we should reiterate the fact that no matter how many times we fail as humans, because we are going to fail because we are humans. What did the Lord say, 70 times 7? And that was just a metaphor. There's not enough sins that we could commit that if we cannot believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's it. That seals the deal, in my opinion. It opens the door for God's grace because that was his purpose.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's about all I got to say, guys.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, a little help with your singing, but hey, thanks for the good input. Hope you keep listening and call again. Thorndale, Texas. Let's go down and talk to our friend Clay. Hey, man, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey there.
You know what? When I first became a believer, I was taught to get up every morning and pray on the armor of God. And also I'd pray for peace and rest. And then one day, I realized that, that we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, and that it's bigger than just knowledge of what he did and who he did. And then 1 John 4, it says, "And we have known and believed his love, and God is as to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And it's, then it says, as he is, so shall we be in the world. So finally, I realize that he seated in the heavenly places, and I'm seated with him. And I still, and when I realize that it's that I'm in him and he's in me, I don't. It's a finished thing. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, yes. Absolutely, Clay. Yeah, I mean, what you're describing there. You talked about the armor of God. Well, the armor of God is Jesus. So when we put on the armor of God, you think about the helmet of salvation. Where does your salvation come from? It comes from Christ, the shield of faith. Well, faith in whom? Well, your faith is in Christ. And we could go on talking about the belt of truth, the truth about whom. It's always coming back to Jesus. So when we put on Christ or put on love or put on the armor of God, we're just getting dressed in a way that matches who we are. And who we are is already joined to Jesus. And you're right. We're complete. We lack nothing. So we don't need to go shopping for more in Jesus Christ. We've got everything we need.
Yeah. Clay, appreciate the question. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, there's something Clay mentioned there that really has made a difference for me. I mean, to realize that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Well, what does that mean? It means wherever Jesus is, we are. Well, where did I start? And for the longest time, I thought I started neutral.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, Richard, here you are, you're neutral. Make the right choices, please. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that I was making wrong choices. And so I tried to balance that out, and I'm walking along this fence, and all I could do was keep falling into the muck on either side of the fence. And when I realized that when Paul said that, he was painting a contrast, that in the old days, when I was born, I was seated with Satan in hell.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say it like that, but I was dead. I was already seated there, even though I was here, you know, in Riverside, California, when I was a little kid. I was still seated with Satan. And when Jesus came, he gave me a choice to be seated with him. I didn't go through life trying to decide whether I was going to be seated with Satan or seated with Jesus. I was seated with Satan.
Right.
And Jesus came along and said, Richard, if you'll believe in me, you can be seated with me in the heavenlies, and you will never go back there. That was a change.
Yeah.
The light went on and the clouds went away,
yeah,
literally.
Absolutely. Well, we always appreciate hearing from Clay. One final question on this edition. Let's listen to this. It came in overnight.
Hi. I'd just like to know, what did Jesus mean when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom? Just like to know what Jesus meant. Thank
Who are
you.
The poor in spirit?
Well, guys, you know, you're looking at Matthew 5 there, mm-hmm. and it's the Sermon on the Mount, but this is the Beatitudes. It's not where Jesus is talking about the law. That comes up 17 verses later. This is a foreshadowing, a picture of what it means to be in Christ. All those who have mourned, all those who have suffered, well, there's good news coming. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we get to be part of a new kingdom and a new covenant.
That's why we do what we do here at Basic Gospel. That's how important this stuff is. If you have ever doubted your salvation and tuned into this radio program, we have tried to give you an assurance of your salvation, not because we're so smart, but because Jesus is so powerful and so effective. We need this $37,000 to continue doing this and doing it properly. We don't go into debt. And when we come up short, we make it clear, and you folks respond. So we ask you to prayerfully, by faith, no compulsion, ask God what he would have you do to help us, and we will thank you for it and praise God together as we together
Amen.
Take this message to the world.
Yes, indeed. And as I've said before this week, if the staff could actually fund this ministry alone, we would do that, because this message is that important. But we can't do it, friends. We need your help. And if you haven't supported Basic Gospel in the past, you can see all the ways to donate when you visit basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. We hope you'll make your most generous gift today to meet this critical need. Again, basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net/Canada. bob@basicgospel.com/Canada. Remember, too, that if you have a question overnight, shoot an email to bob@basicgospel.net or record your question at 844-322-2742. That number is available around the clock to serve you, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, for Bob Christopher, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.